I don't know why my computer just told me that the recording was in progress. That was a little weird. Hopefully it doesn't keep speaking throughout the service. Okay. Pax, whenever you're ready, I'll just open the waiting room and then you can start whenever you're ready. Actually,
Thank you.
I have to go back to the slide.
Amen. May the Holy Spirit come and fall upon us this morning. Amen. Good morning, friends. Welcome to this time of worship. Welcome to Tabernacle United Church on this Sunday morning on Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. This is Pentecost, and I welcome each of you to this time of worship. Welcome to Tabernacle United Church. My name is Katie Akins, Pastor Katie, and my pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm really glad to be here with you this morning, worshiping God and remembering who we are and whose we belong to. So welcome. I want to especially give a welcome to those of you who are visiting. If you're visiting for the first time, we're glad you're here. Thank you for making the choice to join us this morning and to take a little bit of risk, not knowing what kind of community this is. We're grateful that you've taken that step and that you're here with us this morning. If you are new, we invite you to fill out our visitor card. which we will put in the chat box. You can take a moment to fill that out. Let us know that you're here and who you are. We would welcome that. You can also, if you feel so moved, you can introduce yourself in the chat box. We'd love to hear your name and that you're here. So you can do that as well. Welcome to each of us. Welcome. I have just a couple announcements I want to make this morning for our to put into our attention. First of all, I want to invite us, or if you would like to join after the service for some time of chatting. We'll open up the room to have just some conversation after the service today. We also today have our exploring membership class that's starting. We're doing 3 sessions. The first one is today. So anyone who is interested in membership or exploring what that means, also learning a little bit more about the history of our church and our denominational connections, we will be exploring all of that in our exploring membership class that starts today. And that starts at 11:45. It's the same link, the same space. So what we'll do is we'll just come back. You can leave after the service if you'd like for a little break, and then come back at 11:45 and join us for that if you are interested. So that will be happening today, again, at 11:45. Also this week, a couple reminders. We will do our regular Tuesday and Thursday morning prayer gathering at 8:30 in the morning. You're welcome to join us for that time of centering and prayer and lifting up our hearts to God. That is every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 8:30, and that's also on Zoom. We will not have Bible study this week. We're moving to an every other week schedule for Bible study. So Bible study is not this week, but we will meet again the following week at 5:30 p.m. Also, one final last-minute plug for our transition team survey. We've been putting this out a little over the last couple weeks. We have a survey that we would love for everyone in the congregation to fill out. It's about our helping us discern how and when we come back to in-person worship. So it's really important that we get as many voices from the congregation as possible so that we can make a good decision that it's a communal decision. So if you haven't had a chance to fill that out, we invite you to do that. We're going to put the link for the survey in the box at the end of the service, so you can copy that link and take care of that. The transition team is meeting on Tuesday, so the cutoff time for filling it out the survey is Monday night. So please get it done by Monday night. We would really appreciate hearing from everyone on that. So those are our announcements today. Now let us take a deep breath and let us enter into God's presence and into the courts of God's gates with praise. Let's sing.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, the first song we'll sing is Keep Your Eyes on the Prize, which came out of the civil rights movement for Black liberation in the 50s and 60s. And in singing this song together, we are joining in the call of Black prophetic voices from that time and today who tell us, keep your eyes on the prize, stay focused, hold on, let's fight for justice.
The only thing that we did wrong was stay in the wilderness too long. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. The only thing that we did right was the day we began to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. The only chain that we can stand is the chain of a hand in hand. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep eyes. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Sing that again. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Amen. Jesus said, go out into the water just a little further from the shore. Jesus said, go deeper in the water and you'll find what you're looking for. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wade out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wade. I will wade. I will wade. Lord, I will wade. Jesus said, surrender all your fear, you don't need it anymore. Jesus said, my friends, give up your fear, leave your boat here on the shore. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wade out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wade. I will wade. I will wade. Lord, I will wade. I will wade. I will wade.
Please join me in the opening prayer. On this holy day of Pentecost, we remember how God's message is brought to us again and again. At the creation of the world, as the Word, which was the breath that breathed life into everything. On the mountain where Moses received the commandments. In the very embodiment of Jesus through his message of love for God and neighbor. And in the tongues of flames and great rush of wind that descended on his disciples and allowed them to speak in words that were understood by others on Pentecost. As we gather together in this ethereal space, where we have, in a year where we have faced distances through physical separation, language, and culture, let us still listen for the word of God in our lives and know that God is still speaking to us right here, right now. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy Trinity, we confess that you have shown us the way to follow your light and wisdom so many times, in so many ways, through the fire of God the life of Jesus, and the wind of the Holy Spirit. And yet, still we struggle to hear it clearly. We find ourselves caught up in the struggles of our daily lives, or overcome with worry about the many real injustices and calamities we face as the peoples of earth. We may feel that your presence is surely absent or far removed from us as we seek peace and justice and safety. Or perhaps we have heard your message and yet have found it too hard to decipher or too difficult to act upon. God, please forgive us when we turn away from your word or fail to be your word embodied on the earth, which is for all peoples. Please help us to listen again with fresh ears to hear your word and refreshed spirits to bring that word to life right here, right now, wherever we may be. Hear these words of assurance. Beloved community, know that God knows our hearts and minds, and that God always desires what is right and good for us. God comes to us again and again, and will always be there for us, even when it is hard for us to discern. When we come together as a community and listen for God's word as a whole church body, each strengthened and supported by others in discernment and action, there is no limit to the love of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free. Amen.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my and thou my true word, I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my soul shelter, and thou my high tower, raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power.
Friends, let us take a moment now to pass the peace of Christ, the peace of love and understanding that passes understanding that Jesus gives to us and we share with one another. So let's take a moment to unmute and greet one another with the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with each of you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
With you.
Good morning, Helen.
Good morning, peace.
Good morning,
hi,
everyone.
Hi, Mitch. Peace be with you.
Peace.
Good
morning, peace.
TK. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace be with you.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Andrew.
Hi. Peace. Good peace, morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hello, Arda.
Good morning, Mama.
You, Amanda Fox. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Max. Nice to see you.
Marlene.
Good morning, Mama.
Heather and Oscar.
Peace, friends.
Peace, everyone.
Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Pax. Peace be with you.
Good morning, Mommy.
Hi, Heather.
Good morning, Priscilla. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Mommy.
Peace, Johnetta. Good to see you this morning.
Peace, Amanda.
And Helen. Peace be with you.
Peace, Priscilla.
Peace, Chris.
No, that was Virginia. Peace, Virginia.
Priscilla and
Anna.
And
morning, Sana, we're so excited to see you.
Morning, Mommy.
Hi. Morning, Sana.
Morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Tex.
Peace, Vic. Peace, Charlene.
Good morning, Mommy. Good morning, Mama.
Good morning. Good morning. He knows how to use the mute button and the unmute button.
Hey, Amanda and Mav.
Hey there.
Peace, Pauline.
Peace, Helen. Peace, Jenny.
Someone here from Arizona. Wow. Friends, the reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This morning, I am not going to be reading this passage in English. Instead, you will be seeing the English text in front of you on the screen so you can follow along if you'd like. But we are going to hear this text read in a variety of languages. We're going to hear Arabic, German, Icelandic, Spanish, and Armenian. So let's hear now what the Spirit is saying to the church.
ولما حضر يوم الخمسين كان الجميع معا بنفس واحدة وصار بغتة من السماء صوت كما من هبوب ريح عاصفة وملأ كل البيت حيث كانوا جالسين وظهرت لهم ألسنة منقسمة كأنها من نار واستقرت على كل واحد منهم وامتلأ الجميع من الروح القدس وابتدأوا يتكلمون بألسنة أخرى كما أعطاهم الروح أن ينطقوا.
Es waren aber Juden zu Jerusalem wohnend, die waren gottesfürchtige Männer aus allerlei Volk, das unter dem Himmel ist. Da nun diese Stimme geschah, kam die Menge zusammen und wurde bestürzt. Denn ein jeder hörte sich in seiner eigenen Sprache reden. Sie entsetzten sich aber, verwunderten sich und sprachen, sind nicht diese alle, die da reden, aus Galiläa? Wie hören wir denn ein jeglicher seine Sprache, darin wir geboren sind?
Wir sind Parther. Medar og Elamitar. Við erum frá Mesopotamíu, Júdeu, Kappadokíu, Pontus og Asíu, frá Fríkíu og Pamfíliu, Egyptalandi og Líbíu byggðum við Kýrani og við sem hingað erum flutt frá Róm. Hér eru bæði gyðingar og þeir sem tekið hafa trú gyðinga, Krýteyingar og Arabar. Við heyrum þá tala á tungum okkar stórmerki Guðs. Allir voru furðu losnir og ráðalausir og sögðu hver við annan, hvað getur þetta verið? En aðrir höfðu að spotti og sögðu, fólkið drukkið af sætu víni.
Entonces, Pedro se presentó con los once. Levantó su voz y habló en esta forma. Hombres de Judea y todos ustedes que están de paseo en Jerusalén, entiendan lo que pasa y pongan atención a mis palabras. No estamos borrachos, como ustedes piensan, ya que apenas son las 9 de la mañana. Pero ha llegado lo anunciado por el profeta Joel. En los últimos días, dice Dios, derramaré mi espíritu sobre todos los mortales. Sus hijos y sus hijas profetizarán, los jóvenes tendrán visiones y los ancianos tendrán sueños.
Yevim daranerus, yevim a kenerus vorayal, ein hok orere im hoki yespiditapem, yevbidi markarayanam. Vere yerginke hrashkner biditzenem, nubara yergira, nshaner aruina grag yev zuchere manahu. Areva chabari biditarna, yev lusina airuni te droche medz, yerevelu orere chegadz. Եվ բիդի լավ որ ամեն մեկ որ դրոճը անունը գգան չէ գպրգվի։
This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Amen. What a blessing. This is the time in our service where we invite children and anyone else who would like to join to come closer for the children's time. And if you'd like to be part of a smaller group of people for that children's time, you can go down to the reactions button at the bottom right of your Zoom window and raise your hand. Let's sing together to invite those folks forward.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Okay. Hi, my name is Deb. My pronouns are she and her. And I want to say something first to all the adults here. This story is going to end with a question. And this is a question I'm going to ask the adults. And I want you to either say yes, if that's what the answer, or wave your hands. If you're not comfortable turning on your video, you can just say yes. If you want to turn on your video and wave, that's great. So, okay, for the kids. We just sang a song that says, you are a child of God. I want to talk about what that means and why it can sometimes seem confusing. I'm going to start with two little stories. The idea is that some people don't like to be called babies or children. The first story is about my daughter, who is now an adult. When she was very, very little, we made up a bedtime song that had her name in it. Her name is Bessie. And we sang, Bessie's our baby and Bessie's our girl. And we sang that about a million times. And one night when she was maybe two, she started yelling. She said, no, baby. Whoa, what's going on here? So she thought that we were calling her a baby and she wanted to be a big girl. So we explained that a long time ago, she'd been our baby, but now she was a big girl and it was... We like to remember the time that she was a baby. And she understood that. So the other story is about some kids who were in third grade. Their teacher would say things like, now children, it's time for math, or children, please get out your pencils. There were some kids in the class who didn't like to be called children. And one day, one of them got upset and said, please don't call us children. The teacher was surprised, but she understood. And she asked the kids what they would like to be called. They decided that kids or folks would be okay. So the teacher started saying, okay, folks, get out your pencils. The kids were happy because someone listened to them, and the teacher understood their feelings, and she changed what they said. Now, here's the place where I'm going to talk about the song we sing, You Are a Child of God. Everyone, kids, teenagers, adults, want to be called by a name that makes them feel okay. We want to think that the person who talks to us understands who we are. If we're really lucky, our parents, our teachers, and our friends understand us and don't call us names that make us feel bad. So here's where these stories connect with that song. God is very good at understanding how we feel. And God is very good at understanding who we think we are and what we want to be. So when the adults say, you are a child of God, we're not saying that you're a baby or a toddler. The song tells us that God takes care of us by understanding our feelings. We can trust God to protect ourselves, protect us, the way our parents protect us without making us feel like babies. Now, here's the question for the adults. You can turn on your video and wave, or you can clap or yell, whatever. The question is, do we ever get too big or too old to be children of God? I want everyone here who feels like a child of God to wave your hands or say, yes. Okay, so, all right. So we are all children of God. Thank you. So that is our prayer for the day. Bless you all. And thanks for listening. So.
This morning, in thinking about Pentecost, I thought of a hymn that I grew up with in the Mennonite church called Holy Spirit Come With Power, which in the second verse references the flame of Pentecost. And this was one of my favorite hymns. If you don't know this song, I think you'll learn it quickly. Let's sing together. Spirit, come with power, breathe into our aching night. We expect you this glad hour, waiting for your strength and light. We are fearful, we are ailing, we are weak and selfish too. Break upon your congregation, give us vigor, life anew. Holy Spirit, come with fire, burn us with your presence new. Let us as one mighty choir sing our hymn of praise to you. Burn away our wasted sadness and inflame us with your love. Burst upon your congregation, give us gladness from above. Holy Spirit, bring your message, burn and breathe each word anew. Deep into our tired living, till we strive your work to do. Teach us love and trusting kindness. Lend our hands to those who hurt. Breathe upon your congregation and inspire us with your word.
Amen. Our second reading is just one verse from 1 Corinthians 13:1. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
إن كنت أتكلم بألسنة الناس والملائكة ولكن ليس لي محبة فقد صرت نحاسا يطن أو صنجا يرن.
Wenn ich mit Menschenzungen und mit Engelzungen redete und hätte der Liebe nicht, so wäre ich ein tönend Erz oder eine klingenden Schelle.
Thok ég talaði tungum manna og engla, en hefði ekki kærleika, væri ég hljómandi málmur eða kvetlandi bjalla.
Si yo hablara todas las lenguas de los hombres y de los ángeles y me faltara el amor, no sería más que bronce que resuena y campana que toca.
If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a clanging gong. I'm sorry, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fall afresh on us. Melt me, melt us. Mold me, mold us. Fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. The words of the first verse of the hymn by Hal Hobson paraphrase the verse we just heard from 1 Corinthians. Though I may speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire and have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. Paul goes on to write that faith, hope, and love abide and endure, and the greatest of these is love. I've been thinking in preparation for this sermon a lot about Carly Frieder's sermon a couple weeks ago, if you were here and heard her preach. I give thanks for her witness and preaching to us for the first time. She spoke about the importance of love, and she had a wonderful take on love that was one aspect of it, that it is non-utilitarian in nature. In other words, love doesn't seek to make people or creation itself into objects primarily for our own satisfaction or fulfillment. Love seeks to understand the reality of others. Carly lifted up Iris Murdoch's definition of love, that love is the extremely difficult realization that something other than oneself is real. I found that such a phrase to sit with, and she gave us a lot to ponder. I encourage you to go back and listen to her sermon. We read and heard the Pentecost story today from Acts 2. We read it every year on Pentecost, and this day is often called the birthday of the church because Jesus ascended, as we spoke about last week, Jesus ascended and the Spirit descended on the people and this small group of disciples and then blew through them, empowering them to embody the movement of sharing the good news of God's liberating love, the good news of the gospel. Pentecost is this foundational, and I think ought to be formational story of the church. Now, whether or not it is formational is a question, right? That's a question. Is it formational for the church? How formational has it been even in our history? That's a good question. this year, I'm noticing something just a little different about this story. And I hadn't thought too deeply about it before, but I wanted to lift it up this morning for us to reflect on. And what I'm noticing this year is that Pentecost is a love story. It's a love story. Pentecost is a testimony to the wideness of God's love. And some of the ways in which God loves there and that we learn in this story, I think, become then instructive for us as a community. And so I just want us to notice this morning, that Pentecost is a love story. And I have 3 points to make. Yes, today I'm going to preach a 3-point sermon. So I want to just, because I don't care what anybody says, there is a place for 3-point sermons. Can I just get an amen from some of the Baptists in here? Yes, some of the 3-point lovers.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen.
All right. So I'm going to preach a 3-point sermon. One of the things that's nice about a 3-point sermon is hopefully you can remember the 3 points. Hopefully the 3 points are good. So we'll see. That's for you to hear and decide. So my first point, based on this text, is that God loves the world, not just the church. God loves the world, not just the church. This is a testimony in this story to the wideness of God's love and mercy. Pentecost is not just a story of the birth of the church or even primarily about God's love for the church. It's actually a story of God's love for all of God's peoples and lands and languages and cultures and creatures. It's a story of the vastness of God's love for all that God has created. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The Bible doesn't say God so loved Israel primarily, or God so loved primarily Christians. No, the Bible says God so loved the world that God gave their son to be our late liberator and our savior. God loves the world. And that leads to point number 2. God loves the world, and therefore God loves difference and multiplicity, which is also to say God is not very much into uniformity and to sameness, right? Now let's look at the story. The disciples were given the gift of tongues on Pentecost. The gift of tongues here is different than the gift of tongues that comes later in Paul's writings when he's talking about ecstatic utterings, that is a different thing. The gift of tongues here in Pentecost is really the gift of cross-cultural communication. The miracle here is communication and understanding across socially prescribed boundaries. That is what's happening here. The disciples were able to speak in a language that was not their own for the purposes of communicating with another, crossing cultural and ethnic boundaries. The gift of tongues, the miracle of tongues here, is the miracle of communication. So imagine this, that all of a sudden Mary, Jesus's mom, who was probably there on that day, she was in the room with all of the people. She was all of a sudden had this gift of speaking Coptic, not primarily Aramaic, but Coptic, and could all of a sudden communicate with the Egyptian person who was in her midst. Or imagine Thomas, who all of a sudden could speak in Greek, not just Aramaic, his native tongue. So the person from Crete could understand in his native language. This is the gift that's being poured out on the disciples, the gift of communication. It is a gift of love, because love seeks communication and understanding across socially prescribed lines. Now, what is important to notice here is not just what's happening, but what's not happening. This is very important. There is no divine voice from on high that says, Aramaic only, please. English only, please. No, that is not in this text. There is no Aramaic only policy on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit doesn't enjoy or even appreciate in the slightest uniformity, or and especially coercive uniformity. God loves the whole world and loves difference and multiplicity. And at Pentecost, there is no imposing of a common language, which is tragically and sinfully characteristic of a great deal of the history of Christianity. I can think of no other scripture really than this one that flies in the face of ideologies of white supremacy, for example. Ideologies like American Christian nationalism, ideologies like Zionism, which elevates Israel's right to land and life above Palestinian right to land and life, or Christian Zionism, which is arguably worse, which essentially elevates Israel's right to land and life above Palestinian land and life for the purposes of the fulfillment of a prophecy of Jesus' return. Even though Jesus himself said, it is not for you to know the times or the periods of my return, which is what we just read last week. If God so loves the world, then God loves the world, not one nation over another or one culture over another. Do we believe that or do we not? Is this text foundational, formational for us? That is a question. How is it, the people say, that we hear in our own native languages, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, Cretans and Arabs, and visitors from Rome? Do you hear the particularity of that list of people? Notice for a moment the particular places and people that are named. They are given color and specificity in our imagination. Notice also that these folks named are people of color. They are people of color, Black, Asian, Brown, and Indigenous. Oh, wait, there is an honorable mention of lighter-skinned Europeans in the phrase visitors from Rome. So, whoa, the Europeans do make it to the list. They are visitors from Rome. But talk about decentering whiteness at Pentecost, right? The people here that are mentioned, I mean, there are people there that look like me, but they're just part of the diverse crowd. They're not the center of power. Nobody's in the center here. God loves the world. May God have mercy on us for the ways we have neglected this beautiful story that testifies to God's love for the world in all its diversity and cultural expressions. So let's summarize. Pentecost is a love story. Point one, God loves the world, not just the church. Point two, God loves difference and multiplicity. And now comes time for point three, which means it's time for us. It's time to talk about what this means for us. Because God loves the world, not just you and me, because God loves difference and multiplicity, not just my culture and my expressions. What does this mean for the church? I think it means a lot of things, and I can't get to all of it. So I want you to spend some time thinking about it, but let me pull out just one thing. That is point three. For us, love doesn't seek to erase difference, but seeks to understand the needs of another. Love does not seek to erase difference, but seeks to understand the needs of another. This is hard, hard work. Seeking to understand one another, seeking to honor one another's differences and make space for one another's differences is not only loving and holy work, it is hard, hard work. And it's unnatural in a way. It's natural for us to gravitate toward people who are like us, who think like us, who act like us, who have the same political opinions and cultural expressions and the same love of music, et cetera, et cetera. It's natural to gravitate toward those who are like us. But I think Pentecost reminds us, as does Jesus all the time, that as part of Christ's body, we are asked to do the hard work of love. Love that crosses socially prescribed boundaries, to love beyond our tribe, to love beyond our family, And that's not necessarily natural. It won't come necessarily easy. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the passion and the fire of the Holy Spirit to help us. I like to remember, we've talked about this before, I like to remember the Reverend James Forbes and his 75% rule. The 75% rule is this, that in a truly vibrant, diverse congregation, like I think ours is, a truly vibrant, diverse congregation, any given person is only happy 75% of the time. That's you. So you, each of you, should only probably be happy here at TAB about 75% of the time, tops, okay? The other 25% you give up for the person down the pew, or in our case, on the other end of the screen, you give up for the person down the pew who really loves something that you don't and needs it for their soul to be nourished. So this applies to hymns, to worship styles, to kid noise levels. It applies to new ministries and any other thing we do. It's why at TAB we sing European hymns, Black spirituals, praise songs, and tse, and all kinds of different music, because for every time you can't stand a song that we sing, somebody else is being fed and nourished by that song. Thanks be to God. And it is probably someone is experiencing healing and love in the moment that you're rolling your eyes. That's the 75% rule. You can't be happy all the time in a congregation where we are striving to be diverse, to take seriously the needs of one another, the cultural expressions of one another. I love this rule because I think it has so much to do with love and community, that to love seeks not to erase difference, but to understand the needs of another, the culture and language of another, that may not be the same as ours, and to make space then for the needs of another to be met. This is not just good practice for us here within the church. It's good practice for us in all of the things we do outside of the church. How are we refusing to erase difference and seeking to understand the needs of others beyond the tribe of our family and even our church community? That is well worth our reflection. I also like to remember what I would call the principle of God's guarantee, which is the title of this sermon this morning, God's guarantee. Maybe we could start a hashtag God's guarantee. Although when you hear the definition of God's guarantee, it probably wouldn't be very popular. I'm notoriously bad at hashtags, so this is a horrible joke. Anyway, hashtag God's guarantee is this. When you become a part of a Christian faith community like ours, God will guarantee that there will always be someone in the community that you don't like, that you can't stand, or you have trouble loving. You have difficulty loving. Somebody who really gets on your nerves and you find difficult to love. Don't worry, God will guarantee that there will always be a person in the community that you will find difficult to love. Someone for whom you will need the fire and passion and power of the Holy Spirit to cross boundaries in order to deepen an understanding of that person and their difference, and so better love them. You may not ever like them. You are not asked to like everyone. You are asked to love. And guess what? It works on a communal level too. Hashtag God's guarantee. We will together be asked as a community. We will together be asked to love beyond us, to look outward. That is always the movement of the Spirit at Pentecost. It's a movement of God's love that moves outward, looking outside of ourselves, beyond our tribe, for the sake of the good news of God's love and the sake of liberation. Pentecost is a love story. God loves the world, not just the church. That's point number one. God loves difference and multiplicity. There's no Aramaic or English only in God's world. Neither should there be for us. And point three, our call is to love too. Love doesn't seek to erase difference, but seeks to understand the needs of another. Though I may speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire, but have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. May each of us taste this morning the fire and passion of the Holy Spirit and be captured by her movement of love beyond borders, because God so loved the world. Amen and amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill
some days we feel poor and deprived. We wonder how we can get along. Other days we wake feeling rich, full of blessings, full of gifts. God has given us so much that it's easy to forget how rich we are. Let us share what we can with joy and gratitude.
Speak with bravest fire and have the gift to all inspire and have not love, my words are vain as sounding brass and hopeless gain. Striving so, my love profess, but not begin. by love within. The prophet soon turns strangely thin. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. By this we worship and are free. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Hear now this prayer of dedication. God, we are so rich, even when we cannot pay all that the world demands. We know that you demand nothing that we cannot give. Take our offerings for your new world, a world where riches are shared equally, a world where everyone has what they need, no more. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deb. We're going to move now to a time of sharing our prayer concerns. These are our joys, our concerns, our testimonies, anything that's on your heart that you'd like to lift up in prayer to God and before this community. We want to be both listening to the prayers of others and also sharing the prayers of our hearts in this space, and leaving room for one another to express what is on our hearts. So if you are new, or if this is a new time for you, or you're visiting, what we do for this time is we share our prayer concerns in the chat box. So you can tap on that and write out a prayer that you'd like us to lift up. And in just a moment, Gwyneth is going to read out those prayer concerns. And after every concern or prayer that comes through, we will respond as one voice. Gwyneth will say, God, in your mercy, and then we will say, hear our prayer, and join there in that way with that prayer that is shared. So let's take some time now in the silence of our own hearts and in hearing these prayers that come in. Let's lift up our hearts before God.
From Jennifer and Rose, prayers for Richard Johnson, our cousin's brother, who is in the ICU battling COVID, prayers for whom this pandemic is not yet over. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gregory Akins, please pray for a pastor friend's daughter in Iceland. Their daughter has mental illness, is refusing help, and is living on the street. Please pray for her healing and restoration to her family. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Deb. Prayers for friends whose young son died suddenly this year, week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris. For a friend whose father is in hospice and whose mother has dementia. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jim. Prayers of thanks for some small improvements in my brother Paul's condition at the rehab facility. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ed. My heart is with the Palestinians in their suffering and for Katie's sermon. May I remember it's easy to love members of our own tribe, but it is hard work to love those we disagree with. God, give us the strength to love them also. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Megan. Prayers of joy. Raquel has a new job as part of the executive team for an international nonprofit. Thank you all for holding her process in prayer. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Amanda. Navigating interpersonal issues at work has become increasingly stressful and is raising my anxiety to almost constantly intolerable levels. The situation is affecting my friends at work as well. Prayers for all of our mental health and a solution soon. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Amanda and Mav. Great thanks for Amanda, who has her 36th birthday tomorrow. I'm so thankful for the joy she brings to me and our community. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Arda. Prayers for the people of Palestine and prayers for those who acknowledge their pain and suffering. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Erica. Pray for India, where COVID is really bad and so many people are dying. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For all those who may have a prayer on their hearts, which they are not ready to share. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
And let's take a moment now to hold all that has been shared, including, as Gwen has said, the silent ones that are on our hearts. Both the joys and the sorrow and the pain and all that we lift up. We lift them up to God now. Let's sing together.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Love, send us power, send us grace, send us love, send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Amen. I want to lift up also in addition, Todd Kozer, who I know is not here this morning, but is getting ready for his surgery that he's been preparing for and lifting up the past few weeks. So let us also include Todd Kozer in our thoughts and prayers this morning. God, we give you thanks for your wide, just the wideness, God, of your love, the depth of your love. It is always so much wider and deeper than we can imagine or hold. And yet in so many ways, we try to cut that love off. We try to put boundaries on it and reserve it only for a few. Sometimes we do this without noticing. God, please help us in all of the situations we are in where loving is hard, hard work. Perhaps the blockage is in our being able to receive love. Sometimes it's hard work just to be receptive. So God, open up within us a receptivity to the depth of your love for us. And God, help us to catch on fire with your spirit. And both individually, but also God, as a community, to embody the radical love and welcome that is part of your nature and part of the witness of this story that we proclaim this morning. God, work within us so that we will know with clarity the specific situations in which we are called to act and love. Make that clear to us. God, be with all of those and in all of the situations that were where there is suffering and sickness and pain. We've lifted up those situations today, and there are many more that you know of and that are on our hearts. We lift them up to you, asking for the power of your healing and of your movement. So God, we lift up all of these things, and we remember and give thanks for the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you. God's peace growing in you. The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you. God's peace growing in you.
And now, friends, may the fire and passion and compassion of the Holy Spirit that was and was moving at Pentecost and before Pentecost, actually back to the creation of the world. May the fire and passion and compassion and love of the Spirit be with you, hold you, surround you, and lead you into this week. Go in peace to love God and love your neighbor and creation. Amen.